way over the 2 minutes.
Sorry.
Governor, what about Simpson Bowles? Will you support Simpson Bowles?
Simpson Bowles, the president should have grabbed that.
No, I mean, do you support Simpson Bowles?
I have my own plan. It's not the same as Simpson Bowles. But in my view, the president should have grabbed it. If he wanted to make some adjustments to it, take it, go to Congress, fight for it.
That's what we've done, made some adjustments to it, and we're putting it forward before Congress right now, a $4 trillion plan.
But you've been president 4 years. You've been president 4 years. Right. You said you cut the deficit in half. It's now 4 years later. We still have trillion-dollar deficits. The CBO says we'll have a $1 trillion deficit each of the next 4 years. If you're reelected, we'll get to a trillion-dollar debt. I mean, you have said before you'd cut the deficit in half. And I love this idea of $4 trillion in cuts. You found $4 trillion of ways to reduce or to get closer to a balanced budget, except we still show $1 trillion deficits every year. That doesn't get the job done. Let me come back and say, why is it that I don't want to raise taxes? Why don't I want to raise taxes on people? And actually, you said it. Back in 2010, you said, look, I'm going to extend the tax policies that we have. Now, I'm not going to raise taxes on anyone, because when the economy is growing slow like this, when we're in recession, you shouldn't raise taxes on anyone. Well, the economy is still growing slow. As a matter of fact, it's growing much more slowly now than when you made that statement. And so if you believe the same thing, you just don't want to raise taxes on people. And the reality is, it's not just wealthy people. You mentioned Donald Trump. It's not just Donald Trump you're taxing. It's all those businesses that employ one quarter of the workers in America, these small businesses that are taxed as individuals. You raise taxes and you kill jobs. That's why the National Federation of Independent Businesses said your plan will kill 700,000 jobs. I don't want to kill jobs in this environment. Let me make one more point.
Okay, let's answer the taxes thing for a moment.
Okay.
Mr. President.
Well, we've had this discussion before.
The idea that in order to reduce the deficit, right, there has to be revenue in addition to cuts.
There has to be revenue in addition to cuts. Now, Governor Romney has ruled out revenue. He's ruled out revenue.
Absolutely.
Completely.
Okay, so
right.
The revenue I get is by more people working, getting higher pay, paying more taxes. That's how we get growth and how we balance the budget.
Right.
But the idea of taxing people more, putting more people out of work, you'll never get there. You never balance the budget by raising taxes. Spain spends 42% of their total economy on government.
Okay.
We're now spending 42% of our economy on government. I don't want to go down the path to Spain. I want to go down the path of growth that puts Americans to work with more money coming in because they're working.
Yeah. But Mr. President, you're saying in order to get it the job done, it's got to be balanced.
If we're serious, we've got to take a balanced, responsible approach. And by the way, this is not just when it comes to individual taxes. Let's talk about corporate taxes. Now, I've identified areas where we can right away make a change that I believe would actually help the economy. The oil industry gets $4 billion a year in corporate welfare. Basically, they get deductions that those small businesses that Governor Romney refers to, they don't get. Now, does anybody think that ExxonMobil needs some extra money when they're making money every time you go to the pump? Why wouldn't we want to eliminate that? Why wouldn't we eliminate tax breaks for corporate jets? My attitude is, if you got a corporate jet, you can probably afford to pay full freight, not get a special break for it. When it comes to corporate taxes, Governor Romney has said he wants to, in a revenue-neutral way, close loopholes, deductions. He hasn't identified which ones they are, but that thereby bring down the corporate rate. Well, I want to do the same thing, but I've actually identified how we can do that. And part of the way to do it is to not give tax breaks to companies that are shipping jobs overseas. Right now, you can actually take a deduction for moving a plant overseas. I think most Americans would say that doesn't make sense, and all that raises revenue. And so if we take a balanced approach, what that then allows us to do is also to help young people, the way we already have during my administration, make sure that they can afford to go to college. It means that the teacher that I met in Las Vegas, a wonderful young lady, who describes to me she's got 42 kids in her class. The first 2 weeks, she's got some of them sitting on the floor until finally they get reassigned. They're using textbooks that are 10 years old. That is not a recipe for growth. That's not how America was built. And so budgets reflect choices. Ultimately, we're going to have to make some decisions. And if we're asking for no revenue, then that means that we've got to get rid of a whole bunch of stuff, and the magnitude of the tax cuts that you're talking about, Governor, would end up resulting in severe hardship for people, but more importantly, would not help us grow. As I indicated before, when you talk about shifting Medicaid to states, we're talking about potentially a 30% cut in Medicaid over time. Now, you know, that may not seem like a big deal when it just is numbers on a sheet of paper. But if we're talking about a family who's got an autistic kid and is depending on that Medicaid, that's a big problem. And governors are creative. There's no doubt about it. But they're not creative enough to make up for 30% of revenue on something like Medicaid. What ends up happening is some people end up not getting help.
Jim, we've gone on a lot of topics there, and so it's going to take a minute to go from Medicaid to schools
to Medicaid.
Oil to tax breaks and companies going overseas. Right. So let's go through them one by one. First of all, the Department of Energy has said the tax break for oil companies is $2.8 billion a year, and it's actually an accounting treatment, as you know, that's been in place for 100 years.
Now, it's time to end it.
And in 1 year, you provided $90 billion in breaks to the green energy world. Now, I like green energy as well, but that's about 50 years' worth of what oil and gas receives. And you say Exxon and Mobil. Actually, this $2.8 billion goes largely to small companies, to drilling operators and so forth. But, you know, if we get that tax rate from 35% down to 25%, why, that $2.8 billion is on the table. Of course it's on the table. That's probably not going to survive if you get that rate down to 25%. But don't forget, you put $90 billion, like 50 years' worth of breaks into solar and wind, to Solyndra and Fisker and Tesla and Enter One. I mean, I had a friend who said you don't just pick the winners and losers, you pick the losers. All right? So this is not the kind of policy you want to have. You want to get America energy secure. The second topic, which is, you said you get a deduction for taking a plant overseas. Look, I've been in business for 25 years. I have no idea what you're talking about. I maybe need to get a new accountant. But the idea that you get a break for shipping jobs overseas is simply not the case. What we do have right now is a setting where I'd like to bring money from overseas back to this country. And finally, Medicaid to states, I'm not quite sure where that came in except this, which is, I would like to take the Medicaid dollars that go to states and say to a state, you're going to get what you got last year, plus inflation, plus 1%. And then you're going to manage your care for your poor in the way you think best. And I remember as a governor, when this idea was floated by Tommy Thompson, the governors, Republican and Democrats, said, please let us do that. We can care for our own poor in so much better and more effective a way than having the federal government tell us how to care for our poor. So let's state, one of the magnificent things about this country is the whole idea that states are the laboratories of democracy. Don't have the federal government tell everybody what kind of training programs they have to have and what kind of Medicaid they have to have. Let states do this. And by the way, if a state gets in trouble, well, we can step in and see if we can find a way to help them.
But the right
approach is one which relies on the brilliance of our people and states, not the federal government.
2 seconds, and we're going on, still on the economy, on another part of it. All right.